Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Okay, Father, thank you for being God. Talk through me this morning. Amen. So, that's a short one. So I got this, ended with this, but really the way I would feel today would be more like this, or maybe like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it, right? And so I grew up in Oklahoma. I used to watch the OU Texas football game. In fact, the very first OU Texas football game I remember, I watched with my grandpa and my dad, and the evil team won. And my grandpa and dad cried. And I knew at that moment that this game was important. Very important. You don't have these two top-ranked teams and then one of them lose and not cry if it's not important. So from that moment on, I bleed crimson and cream. Right? And to make it worse, Thursday night, when I moved up here, I used to be a Dallas Cowboys fan, which thank God I'm not anymore. They got their own problems. But now I'm a Seahawks fan. And I had to turn that game off. And to make matters worse, our quarterback goes to a team that has feathers. And leads them to the number two team in the nation. So I've been pretty frustrated. I was like, the world's coming to an end. I was like, I know I keep telling you. I was like, Jesus will come back when he comes back. And you don't have to worry about it. But this is the first time in a long time I'm praying that he comes back right now. So I don't have to suffer through this anymore, right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about because you're Seahawks fans, right? And so some of you guys are Ducks fans. So you're like, yay, thank you. You're welcome, by the way, for our quarterback, right? And so, but I just got to think, you know what? I was so disgusted that today I'm going to fire the coach of my fantasy football team. That's it, which is me, right? So I'm just like over it. But there's a scripture that keeps coming to my mind. And it doesn't say this. It says, trust in the Lord when your football team is winning. Trust in the Lord when everything's going your way. Trust in the Lord when you've got lots of money in the bank and your bills are all paid. Trust in the Lord when you're feeling good. No, I don't say that. I mean, I think, where's that found? Where's the verse at? Is it in the Bible? Are you sure it's in the Bible? I think, Proverbs 3:5, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But that's where you trust. It doesn't tell you when. Although you see this, the Bible would say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. This is not the Lord. This is me. Right? Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No. When things are going right? When you feel good?
Always.
Always. Right? And that word rejoice, it's two different words. Re, whenever you add re to it, it means do it again. Find your joy again. And where do you find your joy? In the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? I wish the football team could find some strength in that. Lord, help them. I'm trying to get through this message, I am, but I'm suffering. So pray for me. So just like last week, I had this, like this was a mirror. I was looking in the mirror and I'm trying to fix things in the mirror, right? And it never works. So I have to go where? Right here? So where do I find my joy? In the Lord. And where's the Lord at? In my heart. He's in me. So if he's in me, and the Bible says Christ in me is the hope of glory, and I know, he says, trust in the Lord, right? Rejoice in the Lord. That means that the Lord's the common denominator in everything that I need or everything I'm ever going to have. So I can rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on around me, right? Although I do like to grumble about this kind of stuff, right? Rejoice in the Lord no matter what's going on, and then I can trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And then it says you got to trust in your heart, right? You look around and things just don't add up. Again, football games. I mean, good Lord, what are you thinking, right? But you got to trust in the Lord and know no matter what's going on, no matter what it looks like, no matter how you feel, you got a peace inside you. You have a king inside you. You have victory inside you. You have hope inside you. You have Jesus. Anybody ever hear of him? Like, he's pretty cool, right? He's in us. The Bible says Christ in us is the hope of glory. So now we can trust and we can rejoice in the Lord, and we can rejoice in that. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Meaning we don't have to worry. You ain't going to be able to fix every situation in your own strength and your own power. But I know who already has made a way. He says, I'll make a way where there is no way. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on what? On your own understandings. And then it goes on and says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths, right? And so I think it's so important for us to get it's not in our efforts. He's not saying trust in our own efforts, not saying trust in just what you can do. Well, I need to fast for 25 weeks, and I need to do this or do that, and then maybe God will have mercy on me, because I know he's, like, I really must have offended him, because, like, you know, all this stuff going bad. And we attribute God to a really, really mean father, a really, really mean, not even a dad, like a dictator dude, when he's really a good, loving father. If the way we portray God is how human fathers were, we would throw them in jail and never let them see their kids again. And that's the truth. And if we didn't, we should. He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a faithful God. And you can count on him, unlike your football team. Sweet Jesus. I rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I trust in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. I love this. How about you guys? So, John chapter 3. I was talking about Nicodemus last week, and I want to read through this real fast, because, and then I'm going to get to where I want to talk about, because I think there's so much gold. I was talking about St. Nick and how he was a wise man, and he understood what the word said more than like a lot of us probably do, right? And so we always talk about, well, it's the scribes and the Pharisees. Do you know what the scribes were? These were the guys who would go and they would write out the Torah scrolls. They didn't just know the Torah. They knew where every dot and where every tittle went. They knew letter for letter what the word said. And here, the living word was standing right in front of them, and they didn't recognize him. They recognized the letter of the law. They recognized that they needed loopholes in this to make sure that they were all right when they had to have a sacrifice, and we're just coming out of Yom Kippur, which is really powerful, right? When you think about it, it's a day of atonement, but really it's a day of life. It's a day where we get to celebrate life. Everybody's wanting our lives inscribed into the book of life for the entire year. I was listening to a rabbi, and he was talking about when he'd got to the synagogue, and the young people would always come in, and they would pray on Yom Kippur. Well, there were some that weren't really, they were kind of casual Jewish kids, right? Trying to learn how to be Jewish. They weren't really raised Orthodox or conservative or had been raised as a Jew. And so they're coming to synagogue, and he's like, you guys can go down here and we'll say your prayers, and then we can go up there. And so the kids went upstairs, and they come right back down. And the rabbi goes, what's the matter with you? And he goes, you know, you got all these young people, and all they're doing is laying on their face and wailing and crying and wishing that they can live, pleading for God to let them live for another year. And he's like, I know, friends. They don't even care, and they're going to live for another year. And he's like, if God's that a good God, why do we have to plead and beg for him just to give us another year? And the rabbi said, you know what? You're right. You are 100% right. It's not about another year where you get to where you die and you don't get to have that other year, but it's about the life that you have. The gift that you have, you get to celebrate. Thank you, Father. I have another year. Thank you, Father, that it's the blood. It's from the sacrifice, and it doesn't matter. It's not your pleading. It's not your crying. It's not your wailing. It is the sacrifice that was given on the cross once and for all that saves us. Just like they could count on the sacrifice. That's what it's all about. Without a sacrifice, there was no atonement for sins. But there has been a sacrifice, and now the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And he said that was once and for all, where every year you had to worry. Every year. Not just on Yom Kippur, but even through the year. And then you've got Passover on top of that. Now we have the true Passover lamb, and his name is Jesus. Once and for all, it was done. And so here you have the scribes and you have the Pharisees and the wisdom that there's a lot of wisdom in it. There's a blessing. I wrote it down, the rabbi had, and I love it. I love the Jewish heritage and some of the wisdom that you don't get without understanding the Torah and the Hebrew. There's so much wisdom. And, well, you got the Holy Spirit, right? It's God's wisdom. But the Rebbe says, may you have a good year and a sweet year. God makes it good. The fact that you have life is good and what makes it sweet. We know what we're doing. We know what we're living, what we've living for we know why we have another year of life, and don't waste it. That's what makes the year good and what makes it sweet. So what is he saying? What's going to give us a good and sweet year is we know we have life. We know we're already going to have another year of life. So why waste it? Why not live it? Thank you, Father. I'm going to enjoy life. The Bible says in him we have life and have it in little bitty bits. And have it when we do everything right. In him we have life and have it.
Abundantly.
Have it what?
Abundantly.
I almost could hear you. And have it what?
Abundantly.
Abundantly. Oh, thanks for clearing that up for me. I was confused. The Lord has not given me a spirit of fear or confusion, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Some of you might question that last one. Right? So here's Nicodemus. He knows the word. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, not much different than Paul. And he's running into Jesus, and he's listening to Jesus, and he's like, I know what the Torah says, and I know what the writings say, and I know what the prophets say, and I'm telling you, there's life. I've never heard anything like it, and I love this rabbi. It's like he just speaks life. It's like when he walks around, he's just like, hey, live, right? Life's just flowing out of him because he is life. And so Nicodemus is like, I want what this dude's got. And so he's sinking into Jesus and listening to what he says and watching what he's doing. And he says this, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, time out. I know I'm reading this again from last week, so I'm good, okay? Okay, from ruling council, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. He said, I see you, and I know where you come from. I know you come from God. Again, this is one of the dudes on the council. Like, he knows the word. He knows what the Bible says, and he knows what Jesus is saying is right. And he's saying, I know that you come from God. He's like, I believe you are God sent. Like, there are not many of the people who would say that or seen that. He saw that in Jesus. And he says, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. And you know what makes it great? Is when the angel comes and says, good, I got good news, glad tidings, Jesus is coming again. He did, he just said that. He said, I got good news. I'm sending Jesus. I'm sending God. God with us. And I'm sending a baby, and his name is what? Emmanuel. The angel said his name is Emmanuel. God with us. The Bible says Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the hope. Jesus in us right now. God with us right now. God moving through us right now. Is Jesus coming back again? I hope he comes back today. It'll make me quit suffering over these football games. But it doesn't matter when I know I'm going. Whether he comes with the rapture or if it's post, pre, or trib, whatever it is, I'm good. Do you know why I'm good? Because he's in me. And I have a relationship with him right now. And I have his promises at work in my life right now. And I ain't got time to argue with what I think's right and what someone else thinks right. And it's just all going to work out because he says in all things he works for my good. So I'm not going to get caught up in that. I'm going to get caught up in him. Not that you don't study that. I mean, have fun. Knock yourself out, right? But I don't want that to affect my now. My Christ in me now. My seeing Jesus now. Does that make sense? Here he is. They're waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for the promise. And Nicodemus is hoping, oh, I hope this is the Messiah. Of all the people on the planet, here's one of them. that actually seen or had a chance to see God himself and knew that God was at least with him. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And like, Jesus always knew what to say. Like, he's going to say something that's going to mess with you, right? And he's like, "Born again? Wait, I'm old, dude. Like, how am I going to be born again? Like, I can't go back to my mama's womb and come out again. And then what good would that do for me anyway?" Like, he was thinking in the physical realm. He was thinking in the worldly realm. He was thinking what could happen in this sphere. But I tell you, this is the most unreal part that we'll ever face. Because the real world, the real place is in the spirit realm. Everything here is subject to change. And it doesn't change from us affecting it on the outside. I mean, we can, and it might take a lot of work to get something done. But in 1 second, one day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. It takes one word from God to change your circumstance. And it doesn't come from trying to fix it in the mirror. It comes from trying to allowing God going into your closet, working in the spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in what? In spirit and in truth, right? And so here he's like, "You got to be born again." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit." What is he saying? He's saying, what you try to do in the flesh is going to birth flesh. The way you do in the spirit, that's going to birth spirit. And what's birthed in the spirit is going to affect this world. That's why it says, it's upside down, but I promise, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why did I write it upside down? Well, how did I do that? That's kind of cool. Be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the flesh. Everything in the flesh is subject to change at the word of God and through the Spirit. The Bible says it's by might and by power, not by the Spirit, right? What does it say?
Not by might.
Not by might. Not by power. But by my what?
Spirit.
It's not by might. Not by power, but by my?
Spirit.
By my what?
Spirit.
I couldn't quite hear you. But by my?
Spirit.
Says?
The Lord.
I think his word goes a little ways having some credit, don't it? And he says, "What flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to what?
Spirit.
To spirit." And so he's like, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He's saying, you know what? It's not faith in what you see. It's not faith in what you hear. It's not faith in what you taste. It's faith in him. Faith in what he says. Faith in what he does. You might not be able to see it with your physical eyes, but you can see with the eyes of your spirit and see and feel when God's moving and doing something in your life. That's what God, he's saying, don't, he's saying, Nicodemus, catch this. You're living from this world. You're conforming to this world. And I want to renew your mind and let you know that you can live from your spirit. Are we trying to change our world by doing the fleshly things? Or are we trying to trust God and allowing Him to do the work? See, that's hard because that takes surrender. That's hard because that takes everything off of us and puts all of our trust completely on Him. That takes us back to trust in the Lord with all. With all. That's the key, is we trust in Him with all our heart. Let me tell you something. We're all going to make mistakes. And those mistakes are called sin. But when we're trying to make ourselves good enough by doing works, that's a sin too. Oh, no one tells you that, do they? Do good, get good. The mere fact that you're trying to affect it, you're missing. When it comes, you know what, Jesus? I know you did a finished work. You know what, Jesus? I know your promises. You know what, Jesus? I know who you are. You know what, Jesus? I surrender to you. You know what, Jesus? I don't see with these eyes away, but you said you would make a way where there is no way. Man, I hope it goes for football teams. Man, have some peace. See, we can let little things in this world bug us so much that it can rob us of our peace. Not that I'm saying that's a little thing. I mean, good Lord, it's a rather of a rivalry. But are you going to trust Him? That's what He wants. Are you going to trust Him? That's what He wants. You know, when I get a horse that I'm working with, and they're just like, I know you, and I trust you, and they just submit, and they just surrender. There's no greater peace for me. And what the Father's saying, whew, about time. Aren't you tired of working so hard? When all you got to do, He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And when you do more stuff, I'll give you a break. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will what? I'll give you rest. That's what's promised. That's what we find. Are we resting in His work? Or are we struggling in ours? Man, I like to fight. I like to work. I like to put my head down and grunt through things. And then you get in things you can't. You need God. You're going to run into something where you need God that you can't fix in the flesh, but He's already fixed it and has an answer in Him. I want to live in Him. The Bible says in Him we live and move and have our being. Now watch this. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to what? You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher. Like, he's like, you're Israel's teacher. You're from God. And this is what you're coming up with? All I got to do is be born of the Spirit? I got to be born again? He's like, dude, I got all these rules. I know the scribes. I know Joe and Henry and Joe Bob and all these dudes over here. And I watch them do the word, and I know all these rules, and I know the Torah and the Talmud and all this other stuff, the rules upon rules upon rules. And all you're telling me is I must be born again. All that stuff doesn't matter, but what matters is what God says and His finished work and being born of His work. And he's like, that's it. But that's so hard for Nicodemus. He sees Jesus. He recognized Jesus. He's trying to be good. He's trying to do good. And Jesus is like, you're just lacking one thing, bud. I know. You're awesome, buddy. But you're never going to have real peace until you give it all to me. You see, in order to be born again, we have to die to ourselves. We have to die to trying to fix ourselves. We have to die to trying to save ourselves. And we got to put our trust completely in the one who's already saved us. Let me tell you something. He ain't trying to save you. He already did. You're not fighting to win. You're fighting from the win. Like going and telling the ducks after they have that great win, like, oh, keep fighting for that win. You know what? That game's over. It's done. They're crying all over Ohio right now. They're probably shipping that quarterback back to Kansas. I'd say it's all over but the crying, but there's a lot of crying. But it's done. It's finished. When Jesus said, it is finished, he said, I'm the Savior. You don't have to be. I'm the healer. You don't have to heal yourself. I'm your peace. I'm with you. Even when you can't feel me, see me, touch me, I'm still with you. No matter where you go. If you make your bed in heaven, he says, I'll be there. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there. Isn't that powerful? That's how good our God is. And that's how close we are to lunch. I better be quiet or they'll be crying. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your faithfulness. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.